It's beginning to rain, rain, rain in the voice of our Father. Sing, whosoever will come drink of this water. I promise to pour my spirit out on your sons and your daughters. If you're thirsty and dry, look up to the sky. It's beginning to rain.
Hello, friends. This is Tex Mars, inviting you to worship with us today at Bible Home Church, coming to you from Austin, Texas. Great to be with you today as we look into the things of God. You know, there's no happier person than a person who studies. And you cannot study the things of God without the Bible, because it is the very Word of God. And we're going to be talking today, and we're starting a new series of sermons entitled, Why I Believe in the King James Bible. But these are my personal beliefs. I pray that they will also become yours. You probably have your own testimony of what this Bible has done for you in your life. I am convinced that each of us has miracles, and certainly the miracle of salvation has come from the Word of God. Because that's the that's what we're preached from. And let me tell you, it has miraculous powers. Recently reading an item from a newspaper sent to me from Great Britain. And I'll tell you, it's enough to make you sick. Really? Talks about a new Bible. Let me just read to you exactly the words of this article. It says, a new illustrated version of the Bible is soon to be published. It will feature famous model Claudia Schiffer and Marcus Schenkenberg, I guess he's supposed to be a handsome fellow, as a modern-day Adam and Eve. Instead of a boring drawing of Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden, we may well have a couple walking down a New York street kissing, said Gustav Hellstedt, who's behind the project. This is going to be a Bible illustrated with actual photos of human beings and scenes today. Sexual scenes. Not only kissing, it's going to get more steamy than that, they say here. Now, fashion photographer Paolo Roversi, known for photographing nudes, naked women, is expected to illustrate the book. There will be some nudity, Mr. Hellstedt said, because the Bible is very sensual, and we are going to exploit that. Now, this is the same ungodly abomination of the Bible that I discussed with you last week here. And I'll let you know then that we needed to emphasize the power and authority of the Bible more, because it's being assaulted. It's being attacked on every side, and not just outside the church, but inside the church. All of you have come to me with thousands of examples. I could fill up file boxes of examples of pastors today, ungodly men, and unfortunately a few women, who do not cherish and honor and reverence the Word of God. And I'll tell you, it makes me furious, it makes me angry, but I'm determined more than ever to support the Bible. I was recently reading from a Christian newspaper called Satisfying Portion. That's sort of an interesting title. Satisfying Portion by Arlen Kratz, K-R-A-T-Z. And he wrote an article, The Old Paths. And I fully agree with this article. I want to tell you a little bit about it. He starts off with the Word of God itself from 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 25. It says, the Word of the Lord endureth forever. He said there was a day, not too many years ago, when the question was never asked, which Bible? People just accepted, believed, used, were saved by, were cheered by, were encouraged by, comforted by the King James Bible. Not so today, says Mr. Kratz. There's every kind of and form of Bible imaginable out there for the gullible. But he says to him, it's going to remain the King James because it's infallible, divine, the inspired word of God. He goes on in his article to talk about the sacred Greek text, the Textus Receptus from which this Bible we know as the King James came. And he compares it with the false Bibles, so-called the counterfeits, that came from completely different classical Greek manuscripts, from Roman manuscripts, from Egyptian texts. He goes on to say that, and I like this, he says, I purpose not only to cling to the old rugged cross, but also to the blessed old book. I don't know if I want to call it blessed old book because it's never old. It's never new because time has no meaning with God. It is simply the blessed eternal book in my thoughts. But I'm sure that Brother Arlen would agree with me. He just used different terminology than I might. He's going to stick with it. So is Tex Mars. And I pray as we continue this series, Why I Believe in the King James Bible, you will agree with me. Now, let me explain this. It's going to be a little bit different than what we normally do here on Bible Home Church. Because this is actually from a program that I had several years back with Dr. Joseph Chambers of the Paul Creek Church of God in the beautiful state of North Carolina. And Dr. Chambers sat down with me and we did a video together. And we made an audio tape as well, and that's what you're going to be hearing. Why I Believe in the King James Bible. And he asked me, Tex Mars, why do you believe in the King James Bible? And I showed where the other Bibles supposed came from. And I talked about why I believed in the King James Bible. I pray you'll be blessed by this series of programs. We're going to break it up into segments, and we'll have part one today. But as you know, we always have beautiful music. Always. And before we have that beautiful music, I'd love to hear from you if you're getting a blessing from this program. If you can afford a love gift, tuck that in. I would appreciate that so much. Maybe you could even put us on your calendar and periodically, maybe even monthly, when you pay your other bills, maybe you can pay the debt that you owed God. I mean, he did so much for you and help his ministry here by sending a love gift each month to Bible Home Church. But listen, even if you can't afford to send a cent to us, I still want to hear from you. I know one thing you can do. You can spend just 5 minutes and pray for us once a month. Would you do that? That'd be worth $1 million to me and to the church just to hear from you, to know that you love us, you care for us, you're listening. I appreciate that. You know, we're attacked on all sides today here at Bible Home Church. You wouldn't believe it. But I have God and I have you as my friend. And that's all I need. Well, now, if you don't want to be my friend, I still have God, but I'd like you to stay my friend here, to Pastor Tex Mars on Bible Home Church. It's great to have friends here on earth. We have so many enemies, and we understand because we tell the truth of the Bible. Well, now we have a song for you. This is the great old Blackwood Brothers Quartet, and I believe this one is about leaving something in the well. Leaving a well in the valley. That's right. Leaving a well in the valley. You'll like this wonderful old gospel song. And then when we return, we'll begin with our new series, Why I Believe in the King James Bible.
The valley you've been through, those around you must go to. Down the rocky path you've traveled, they will go. Of your smile, you will help them more than you will ever know.
Hello, friends. I'm Tex Morris, and I'm so glad you're with us because we're going to be talking today about a subject that is absolutely the most important subject that we could discuss in this lifetime, and I realize even the lifetime that's going to continue forever if you know God. Because God said through his apostle Peter that the word of God liveth and abideth forever. And so it's vitally important and essential that you not only know the word of God, but you cannot know the word of God without having the word of God. And it's an amazing thing that God loved us so much that he has given us a book. It's more than the millions of books that are produced through men's hands. This is a book that has been actually breathed by God, given to his servants. It is perfect. And God says in Psalm that his words are pure words. Pure words. Now, I'm going to be asking our guests in just a minute what that word pure means. I have my own ideas of purity. You know, there's a soap some years ago was advertised as 99.44% pure. Well, I think there is a higher percentage in God's word. And I've asked my guests today to come on and discuss God's word. Now, we believe very strongly that God's word is found in its entirety and in its perfection in the King James Bible. And so we're here to defend the King James Bible. Now, I must tell you that the Bible provides its own defense, and that there's nothing that we can do to make the Bible any greater than it is. There is nothing that we can do to diminish the Bible, because it speaks for itself, because it's pure, and because it comes from God. So in defending God's word, we're going to tell you the truth of what it says, what it has said over the centuries, since God gave us his word through his servants. And then we're going to compare. Yes, my friends, we're going to compare God's true word, the King James Bible, with some incredible, horrendous counterfeits. And you will see the monstrous way in which Satan and his human and demonic agents have sought to twist, to distort, to mangle, to butcher, to savage, to ravage the Word of God. But in all of this, my friends, keep in mind, God said, his Word liveth and abideth forever. Now, with me is my very good friend, Brother Joseph Chambers. He's the founder of Paul Creek Ministries in Charlotte, North Carolina. He has a tremendous radio program called Open Bible Dialogue. I know it's excellent. I've been on it. It's not excellent because I've been on it, Brother Chambers. But, you know, you actually interface with people.
Yes.
I mean, you get... I remember I was on with you one time and a gentleman called and we were talking about Bible prophecy. And he said, Brother Chambers, I just think that you're trying to scare the hell out of us. And Dr. Chambers says, well, if I could, I sure would, brother. I sure would. Well, you know, you also have the newspaper that I find excellent, End Times and Victorious Living. Maybe we could start with that. Are these the end times, and how can you live victoriously in the last days?
Tex, it's exciting to realize that these are indeed the end times. The coming of the Lord draweth nigh.
But you still smile.
Oh, yes. I smile because, you see, when you have the Word of God, you have an infallible Bible. That word pure means infallible. Totally, 100% pure. You have an infallible Bible. Then you have some degree of understanding of what's going to happen. I mean, Jesus said on one occasion that men can discern the face of the sky. They can say it's going to rain or not, he said, but you cannot discern the signs of the time. See, that's the same judgment that you could make of this generation. They understand scientific matters. They understand environmental matters. They understand all kinds of matters that have to do with the present age and the present world. But they have very little comprehension of the signs of the time. When you know what is fixing to happen, then you know it's the most exciting time to be alive in all of human history. I'd rather live today than to have lived in the day that Jesus appeared the first time. Mm. Because the second coming of Christ surpasses in the triumph, in the glory of that day. I mean, we could never do without his first coming. We don't minimize that in the least. Mm. But the second coming is a completion of that which is represented in the first coming. So, yes, he's coming. And the reason we have peace and satisfaction, we know that his coming is certain. And we have the Bible, a perfect word, telling us the signs and telling us what's going to happen. That's exciting.
So the Bible is really the story of history.
Yes,
written
it is.
In advance, it's really future history as well as the past.
One man said the word history has two S's. His story. Mm-hmm. H-I-S-S-T-O-R-Y. Two S's.
His story.
His story. And so history is really his story. Satan is the god of this world. Mm-hmm. But ultimately, God is the God of the ages. Mm. And all of history is whatever he allowed or whatever he did.
Oh, no, that's very important. Whatever he allowed or whatever
he did. Exactly.
So when we're talking about the counterfeiting of God's word, I call it Satan's fingerprints in these new Bible versions. This is nothing that God didn't know would happen.
Of course not.
In the last days.
Of course not. You know, Jesus was slain from the foundation of the world. Mm-hmm. Jesus was slain before God stepped out and said, "Let there be light," in the mind and heart of God. God knew the fall. God knew the great devastation of the fall. He knew the dark periods that would pass through human history, the veil of tears that men would traverse and travel. But he also knew that he had a plan and a program that could not fail. Mm. And that program is centered in Jesus Christ. And the Bible records that program. I mean, the Old Testament gives us a picture of everything up to Calvary. The New Testament gives us a picture of Calvary hence. And now we're looking for the glorious millennium when we shall reign with him 1,000 years and then slip into eternity forever.
You know, Brother Chambers, what I wish we could do today is first, I want to start at the end.
Okay.
The end of the book of Revelation, Revelation 22, okay. And ask you about that. Revelation 22, verses 19 and 20. I mean, there we have Revelation. And here is the book that ends all of the books of the Bible, talking about the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. And yet there is a great warning there in Revelation 22, verses 19 and 20. And it has to do with people who would tamper with God's Word, doesn't it?
The Bible says that the Word is forever settled in heaven. And one of the most incredible verses in the Bible. The Bible is forever settled in heaven.
You mean it's already written?
It's fixed.
It can't be changed.
It's finalized.
No matter if archaeologists find new Dead Sea Scrolls.
It don't matter what the scholars say.
Okay.
This is the book.
All right.
And it's complete. The Holy Spirit, the Bible says, the sword of the Spirit is the Word of God. You can discern exactly what the Holy Spirit is doing by what saith the Word. If any man says, "The Holy Spirit said this to me," and it's not in the book, he lied. If any man said, "The Holy Spirit did this," and its precedence is not set in the book, he lied. The book is settled, forever settled in heaven. And the reason God said that you cannot add to and you cannot take away is if you cannot take away from God the Father and God the Son and God the Holy Ghost, you certainly cannot take away the God-breathed book that this book represents. Men wrote this book, the Bible says, as it was breathed by the Holy Ghost. So that men, in their own colloquialism, in their own mannerism, with their own language that they spoke in their culture, they wrote precisely and exactly what God said.
Now,
forever settled in heaven.
You know, Joseph, I've done a lot of research on these New Age Bibles. Many false Bibles out there. One of them is called A Course in Miracles. Now, this was A Course in Miracles. Now, sounds good. Sounds holy. Sounds something wonderful. But it was supposedly dictated by a spirit who called itself, you notice the it, itself Jesus. A woman, a Jewish atheist psychologist out of New York, stated that in the 70s, a spirit came to her. Now, she's not a Christian. She's not even a good Jew, right? She's an atheist. But Helen Schuchman, who's a, as I said, is a, up at the New York State University, a psychologist, said that a spirit came to her. Now, she was asked, who was this spirit? She said, and I quote her, it said it was Jesus.
Yeah.
Well,
helps the feminist, doesn't it?
Well, it does. It said it was Jesus. Now, Helen says that over a period of several years, this spirit, through automatic writing, almost like channeling, dictated this new Bible. It's almost like this Bible, but it says that Jesus and Lucifer are brothers, for example.
That's the old ancient law of Satanism, you know.
That's right.
Jesus and Lucifer
now,
are brothers.
Now, interestingly enough, Helen Schuchman says that when she had this incredible book of 600 or 700 pages finished, the manuscript, that it still needed some editing and a little bit of revising. So she worked with another gentleman, professor there, and they made sure that the English was right, and you know they did some editing. So you're saying that this book had no editing. There was no master editor-in-chief that said, let's change this word, let's change that one. This one sounds better, I like this better. It was given directly.
The Holy Spirit breathed the Word of God. Holy men of God wrote, one scripture says, as they were moved by the Holy Ghost.
Mm.
So it was, the Holy Ghost did not take their fingers, as a spirit would suggest in this story you just told. But the Holy Spirit completely, sovereignly moved upon their minds.
It was a finished product.
It was a finished product.
Whatever they wrote, their
particular
book.
As the Holy Spirit wrote or gave them, and they wrote the book.
All right. So they didn't have to revise it the way A Course in Miracles.
And we don't need no revisions today either, believe me.
All right. So now you say that in Revelation 22, 19 and 20, there is a great warning here.
Oh, yes.
Maybe you better read that because I want to, as I said, let's start at the ending. What God says in the last days will happen to those who basically mess with his word. Who...
For I testify unto every man that heareth the words of the prophecy of this book. God shall take away. I'm sorry, if any man shall add unto these things, God shall add unto him the plagues that are written in the book. And if any man shall take away from the words of the book of this prophecy, God shall take away his part out of the book of life.
Mm.
Now, we're talking about damnation.
Ooh, I'll tell you.
If you're not in the book of life, you do not get into heaven.
Mm.
And it says, and out of the holy city, and from the things which are written in this book.
You know, I was talking to a Baptist man, and he said he began to tremble when he read this. He said he'd always been taught in eternal security. And he said he believed it. You couldn't lose your salvation. But he said, the way I read this, it says,
yes,
very clearly, their name was in the book. But they attempted to take away from or add to God's word, and he struck their name right out of the book.
That's what it says.
That's what it says, right?
That's what it says. To tamper with the Bible is one of the last things any man will dare to do. The ultimate expression of blasphemy.
Mm.
The ultimate expression of disregard and a complete disrespect for God is when you take this book and begin to tamper with the Word of God.
So this is something of utmost gravity. A person can lose their salvation. I know, now folks, believe me, I was saved in a Southern Baptist church. I was raised as a Pentecostal. I was saved by the grace of God and baptized in a Baptist church. We can argue all day over eternal security or whatever.
This is Jerry Barrett. You've been listening to Bible Home Church and Pastor Tex Mars. We hope this program has been a blessing to you, and we invite you to tune in next week as Pastor Tex Mars continues his fascinating series, Why I Believe in the King James Bible.
If you're thirsty and dry, look to the sky, it's beginning to rain.
You've been listening to Pastor Tex Mars and Bible Home Church. Please join with us in worship next week as we continue to honor the remarkable Word of God.